You're about to hear an inspiring message from the team at C3 Church Bathurst. It's our prayer that it will spur you to live your best life in Him.
It's been so good just to kind of grab a whole book and get stuck into it, and really, really been loving different people's thoughts and just reflections as different verses jump out at them and make them think, and they share that on it and social media, and it's been really good just seeing people engage with that. So keep going, you know, get engaged with that book, read it, just eat it. Not literally. And we're going to use Proverbs this morning. This is what we're focusing on in our ancient faith for a modern world. So Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's quite a bold statement. And I have a memory of my first year at uni. I was involved in a Bible study group on campus in the college where I lived. And I have a really, really clear memory of one week in that group where the leader asked us to spend a week just kind of finding out what is the fear of the Lord. The problem is, I also have a really clear memory that we never returned to that discussion. And it bothered me. I think that's why it stuck in my mind, because it bothered me. Like I can remember the room. I can remember kind of where I was sitting in the room, and like it's just weird. But every time I hear that verse in Proverbs, every time I read it, I get taken back to that room and where I was sitting, and when I heard, you know, that request to find out what is the fear of the Lord. And I think I also kind of have a sense of frustration that it didn't get followed up. And that time in my life, I was a little bit too shy, believe it or not. I was shy. To pursue it myself. You know, when you're feeling a bit insecure about yourself, you don't chase after things sometimes. And so I never pursued it myself. I thought, oh, the leaders should have brought it up. No. But thankfully, over time, and getting to know my Bible and getting to know God more, I kind of developed a understanding of that phrase that I felt comfortable with. But the really great thing about the Bible and reading it is that the more you read, the deeper you go. And the more that God speaks to you and opens up His revelations about what His Word is saying to you. And, you know, it just changes. The older you get, the more you know Him, the more you read it. And so in preparing this message, that's exactly what happened. I deepened my understanding about the fear of the Lord, and it just opened up so much more for me and just helped me so much. And I really believe that today that together we can go deeper. Together we can learn a little bit more about His wisdom, about the fear of the Lord, and be amazed at the depth of God in this world, in our lives, and where He's going. And I do think that we will discover that little secret of the beginning of wisdom. But, you know, what happened to the others in my uni group, I do wonder that sometimes. I know that one particular member of that group did discover wisdom because he asked me to marry him. Maybe that has something to do with it. No. But, you know, I do think, you know, did their lives get impacted? Has something changed in their world? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But what does that mean? So let's have a look at it. Let's have a look at fear. Let's have a look at fear. What is fear? And there are many, many different places in the Bible where this word is used. And so over my course of reading through the Bible and finding those different passages over, you know, the course of me reading and being a Christian and things like that, I developed an understanding of the word fear that was based on my English translation of that. And so my understanding of the word fear in this verse was this huge, awe-inspiring reverence for God. Like, it sounded grand and it felt good, and I felt happy with that and comfortable with that. But as I said before, when we go deeper into the Bible, God shows us more. And so in preparing, I looked up online, you know, using the different online tools. I thought, I'll look up the Hebrew word. I'll look up that word in Proverbs that is fear in English, and I'll look that up and see what that Hebrew word is and see what happens. I was in for a bit of a shock because there were lots of words for the word fear, you know, that came up. I think it's called Strong's or something. It's, you know, Strong's Concordance. There's all sorts of words in Hebrew that mean fear, okay? And there's words there that do pertain to that reverence and awe of God. They're definitely there, but not in this verse. And that shocked me. The fear of the Lord in Proverbs 9, verse 10, was straightforward, exceedingly dreadful fearfulness, something to be afraid of, as likely to be dangerous and painful. That didn't sound good to me. It didn't suit my image of this awe-inspiring reverence leading to bountiful wisdom. I wrote down in my notes, as I have notes that I prepare messages, and I wrote down, I said, I'm now really confused. Because, well, partly because the message I thought I was going to bring wasn't going to come. And partly because, you know, that fire and brimstone teaching was not my forte. And it's not where our modern world is at. And so I was in a bit of a dilemma. If the beginning of wisdom is fear of God, how do I bring that to our modern world today? How does it make any sense? And how does it relate to us? Because the problem was that the verse was not alone. It wasn't just an isolated use of the word fear, and so I could go, oh, well, that's just maybe a translation problem, or I couldn't do that because that word in Hebrew came up many, many times. Like here in Psalm 19, verse 9, it said, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. In Psalm 34, verse 11, it said, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And then in Job chapter 28, verse 28, and he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. I couldn't just pretend that it was a different kind of fear. There was too much across the Bible, and that was just the beginning of it. There were lots of verses that said that that fear of the Lord was scary. And we don't like that sort of talk in our modern world today. It's not attractive. In the past, people have been burnt really badly by this overemphasis on a scary God. But I did stop and I just wondered, have we done ourselves a disservice by going too far in the other direction? By leaning too much on his love and grace? Have we forgotten that God's just not one thing? God is bigger. God is everything. And God is scary. So I prayed. I needed to get some idea of what God meant by this, because it shook up my understanding and it kind of rattled me a little bit. But as I did pray, God reminded me of when I was saved. And he reminded me that it started with fear. Fear that I wasn't good enough. Fear that I'd stuffed up too much. And on that night when everything kind of started falling apart and crumbling, and I saw who God was. And it kind of was different to the God that I created him in my mind to be. It was different to the image that I had kind of grown up with. Because I saw that God was holy. It means he's set apart. He can't be touched if anything's unholy. And I was. I saw that he was perfect. I saw that he was almighty. I saw that he was creator of the universe. I saw that he was so completely over and above anything I could understand, anything that I could imagine. I saw that he was Lord. He was God. I saw that he was that great I am. And because of all that, I also saw who I was. And I wasn't really all that much. I was a person. And I was one that had stuffed up. And everything that I thought I knew before about God just did seem a bit like a waste of time in comparison to what I was seeing of him now. And I spent a week just grappling with that fear, this new view of God, not just being a big, soft, loving dad, but knowing that I couldn't actually, on my own, get close to him, that he was scary and that I had made mistakes and that I actually deserved everything that I had coming to me. And that it was right to fear the Lord. And then God showed me that was the beginning of wisdom. That was the place that wisdom started. It wasn't a place to stay. How is the beginning of wisdom? Because it's that revelation, that understanding, that fear that brought me to a place of kneeling before God, that made me really understand the enormity of what Jesus had done on the cross for me. Not for everyone else, but for me. it enabled me to really call him Lord from my heart, not from my head. That is the beginning of wisdom. I had a real understanding of God's grace and forgiveness at that point, his love and his goodness. And God showed me, and now I understand that unless I had come face to face with who God was, the enormity of that and the fear of that, I could never actually have become humbled enough to know wisdom, to get to know Christ. Because it's in that space of knowing who God is and being scared of that because we're not there, it's at that place that we call out to Christ. And that's the beginning of wisdom. And sometimes I look at our world, our modern world, and I'm baffled. I'm baffled how people can just dismiss God. That they consider him as something they can choose to believe in or not to choose to believe in. I'm reading a book at the moment and it's annoying me. Because it's written by a guy when he's in about his 20s. And he's so mixed up in his understanding of faith and God that it's annoying. Because other people read this book and they get messed up too. I'm really hoping that he gets it by the end of the book. Otherwise, damn, you can't finish reading it. No. It's all right, I don't do that. They have to work out these things. But, you know, how arrogant we can become as humans to dismiss the God who created us. Or to think that we can pick and choose what we like of him and what we don't like of him. I don't always understand God. I don't understand what he's done in the past. I don't get the Old Testament and all that destruction. I don't get it. And I don't understand where he's taking things in the future. And I don't understand why he gave us free will. But, you know, I can't be quick to judge him because he did give us free will and we made stupid choices as humans. Because just because I don't understand something, it doesn't stop it from existing. It doesn't stop it from being real. That's why God's name is I Am. Because he is. Our modern world, we try to create our own wisdom. And it shifts and it changes. And it changes according to the whims of that culture. According, you know, all the different cultures have different elements of wisdom in them even. And it changes according to influence over that culture at that particular time. The political influences and other things that are going on. And that doesn't seem like wisdom to me. That just seems like folly. I am so glad that God's real. I'm so glad he is not subject to our belief in him. That even if everyone on earth decided not to believe in him, he would still be there. And I'm thankful that he taught me to fear him so that I could step into the beginning of wisdom. Because as I read through Proverbs, I started to see this pattern established that, like he established way, way, way long ago. And he was setting out a way to find Jesus and to find wisdom, even in Proverbs. And if we go to Proverbs 2, I could see three different steps that takes us on that journey to find wisdom. So open up your Bibles to Proverbs 2, verse 4. And it says, "And if you look for it, wisdom, as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure." The first step in finding wisdom is to search. Search without giving up. Search just with this intense longing to find. You know, Jesus spoke this to his disciples when he was on earth. He was speaking about the kingdom of heaven and he gave them parables. And he said in Matthew 13, verse 44, he said, you know, search for it like hidden treasure. And in Luke 15, verse 8, he said, or like a lost silver coin. I don't think it was an accident that Jesus took that imagery in his parables. He knew his Bible. He'd read Proverbs. And I believe that he was pointing to something in Proverbs that was showing us how to find wisdom and how to find him. Because if you then read the next verse, verse 5, it says, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Jesus was telling the people around him. He was reminding them of, you know, the treasure, and he was reminding them of the lost coin. And he's kind of trying to get them to jog their memories and go back to Proverbs, and because then they'd read the next verse where they saw that come up, and they go, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." He wanted them to find God. He wanted them to know him. He's giving them a verse so they can reach out and they can look for him. And think back on your life. Like, where's that point that you worked out who God was? I actually think we all need to come to a point where we realize that he is God, and I can't mess with him. I think even if we grow up in a safe Christian environment, that we have to come to our own realization of who God is and who I am and what that means for me. Our salvation and our faith is not something we inherit. It's something that we choose for ourselves. We choose it consciously. We choose it deliberately. It doesn't have to be spectacular. We don't have to come to an incredible crash or anything like that. But deliberately, we need to know that God is God, and that's scary. When we get to the third step, the next verse, because, you know, there's no point just giving the two steps. Like, Jesus led us there, like, then you can be God. And then in verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." And then if you skip to verse 10, said, "For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." How amazing. Step one, search. Step two, fear. Step three, God will give it to you. It will enter your heart. When we acknowledge God as Lord, we fear him. Because then we know that we need Jesus. It's at that point when we realize who he is that we know that we are not, and that we need Jesus to save us. And it's at that point when we ask Jesus to save us that the Holy Spirit enters into our heart and into our life, and that is the beginning of wisdom. Now living inside of us is wisdom. It's not an abstract concept. It's a person. Wisdom is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit, of Christ inside of us. And that is the most exciting part about wisdom. You know, in the past I've read Proverbs and I've looked at it, and you know, right at the beginning it's lovely, it's talking about Proverbs and it's giving Proverbs a character. The word I have always seen as the word being personified, you know, just a little tricky English technique, whatever you call it, that kind of is fun. And that's how I viewed that use of the word. But now I understand that it's not just this lovely personification of the word. Wisdom is a person. And, you know, last year we looked at the book of James and we did a bit on wisdom then. Maybe we don't feel very wise as a church. I don't know. Keep coming back to this. But we looked at James, and I remember, because I wrote down in my journal, Jeff said something along these lines. He said, wisdom is not just a good idea, but a connection to a living wisdom source. It's about a relationship with Christ. Wisdom is a person. It's a relationship with Christ. And Proverbs 7, verse 4, says that we can have wisdom become a beloved member of our family. That it's not just that we would have all these great, you know, principles to live by, that we sit down at the dinner table and we go, a wise child, listen, children, a wise child accepts a parent's discipline. Yes. And we can say that at the dinner table because a young mocker refuses to listen. And we can feel very good, but that's not wisdom, and that's not bringing wisdom into the family as a part of our family. We can bring wisdom as someone that dwells there, not to be preached, but lives in amongst us. Because I can't find it right now, because it's probably in Proverbs as well that it says, the parents, be kind to your children. And that's the wisdom that would be growing out of us as we know Christ, as we get to know him, and hopefully that would be that wisdom growing out of us and treating kindly when our kids need discipline. They've all been good, don't worry, don't get worried. This is not one of those example things, as things that have happened. So no longer is it an unattainable concept that we need to learn through years and years of trial and error. Wisdom is right there inside of us, waiting for us to get to know her. I use her because that's the way that's personified, even though we're just discovering that wisdom is Christ. Wisdom is the Holy Spirit inside of us. Last week, Jeff said the path is a person, Jesus. This week, we can understand that wisdom is a person too, and it's about relationship with Christ. And as that relationship develops, so does the outworking of wisdom in our world. I'm constantly surprised by the things God shows us as we read his word and get to know him more. And I know for myself, like, I read my Bible each day, and sometimes I'll scribble down reflections on that. And sometimes if I'm organized, I'll put out a post on media. But there is great value in going deeper. And I especially notice this when I prepare a message, because it forces me to dig a little more and to ask a little more and to push a little more about what God wants to say. And you know what? You can all do that too. I'm not going to ask you to write a message. It's all right. But you could write one for yourself. You could just push a little more, dig a little deeper, write it down, what God's showing you. Look up some references. Go across your Bible. Get online. What does the Hebrew say? Like, it's really fun. And it's amazing the things that you discover because Christ is in you, opening up that wisdom. I love coming here and we can hear these amazing messages and we can see what God has spoken to someone else, but we can all have that ourselves too. We can go deeper ourselves in our own time and increase our wisdom and increase our relationship with Christ and with God.
Thanks for listening. We would love to connect with you. Our services are on Sundays at 217 Howick Street at 10 a.m. for a 10:30 service. Or visit us on the web at c3churchbathurst.org.
Come like a river, come like a flood. Let us be overwhelmed, baptized in your blood.